And but the follow-up to one violent crime this weekend has captured so much attention for what did not happen. The fact that no charges have been filed in the case of five suspects. You had five suspects with guns shoot at each other in the middle of the day Friday. One man's killed, two wounded, at least 70 shots fired. A crime involving two stolen vehicles, multiple illegal weapons, including an AK-47, seized from that scene. And now we learn that they released all five men from custody after prosecutors declined to charge any of them with anything. Pat O'Brien is joining the show. He's a former judge, also worked in the Cook County State's Attorney's Office as well. Pat, so many of us don't know what to make of this. It just seems so, well, it's mind-boggling to think that these five suspects, there wasn't anything to charge them with. How are you this afternoon?
I'm well. Thank you, Hannah. Thanks for letting me come on. And let me note first that it's difficult to, I suppose, to criticize from this distance where I don't have access to police reports or interviews, witnesses, but I will say this just as a kind of an umbrella view of this. The idea that we can have running gun battles, whether on Milwaukee Avenue or in the west side streets of Chicago, and that the prosecution would not be able to charge or find any charges that would be appropriate, that just seems incomprehensible to me. And I've been a prosecutor, as you indicated, and a judge.
Mm-hmm. The reasons given, and this is what I really wanted to ask you about because of your experience. They said the spokesperson for the Cook County State's Attorney's Office said that prosecutors had determined the evidence was insufficient to meet our burden of proof to approve felony charges. The other reason given was that mutual combatants was cited as the reason for the rejection, and as they framed the state's attorney's office decision to decline charges, that's what they said. What do you make of those two things as reasons not to file any charges in a case like this?
Well, I'm going to first talk about the doctrine of mutual combat. And quite frankly, between the time I was notified by your producer that you'd be calling, and now I've been looking up the law to kind of figure out where this fits. And under the case law, mutual combat is a limited doctrine where two parties willingly enter a fight on equal terms and death results. And typically mutual combat doctrine comes up in connection with a murder charge where the defendant is raising an issue that a murder conviction shouldn't be appropriate, first degree, but that there's serious provocation, which is where the mutual combat doctrine comes in, and that there should be a second degree verdict form given to the jury or second degree finding by the judge. It doesn't talk about mutual combat as being something similar to self-defense. And again, this is harder to do from a distance, but let me say that when two people fight and it's a fist fight and the person, typically the person that's not winning, say pulls out a knife or a gun, that's not mutual combat because now you don't have fighting on equal terms. And further, you don't have self-defense when there's a situation where maybe one person starts a fight and then kind of steps back and the other person hits them. And then the first person, the aggressor, takes out a knife or a gun or some weapon and kills that other person. Even that isn't self-defense, because if you're an aggressor in a situation, you never have the right to claim self-defense. Moreover, if you withdraw from a situation, that's also a situation where you can't then go back and claim self-defense. Now, with two cars with multiple persons, and I don't know if the guns that were recovered, if they matched fired bullets to the weapons. But I can see with a running gun battle, for instance, even if one person in the vehicle, I don't even know how you have mutual combat. They shoot at the same time. If one person in a vehicle shoots at another vehicle, if another person in that other vehicle shoots back, the first car and the shooter doesn't have a right to claim self-defense or mutual combat because they instigated. And if the first car having fired then kind of slows down and the other vehicle speeds up and is now turns around and fires them back, they probably don't have the right to claim self-defense because they've now withdrawn and there isn't an immediate situation where they're at risk of great bodily harm or death.
So, Pat, I think the question I would have here is doesn't, if the law is applied in this way, isn't any time someone shoots and someone shoots back, couldn't it be mutual combatant? Couldn't you say, invoke that and say, okay, there's no crime here, which just seems crazy when you consider a person died, two were wounded, they had stolen vehicles, likely illegal weapons, 70 shots are fired in the middle of the day, and there's not a single thing?
Well, I agree with that frustration. And my sense of this is you should look at this in a broader way. For instance, this could be a situation where you have mob action. You could charge everybody, certainly each of the shooters, with mob action, and you don't care who's shooting who. And if there's a death, the results, they're all responsible for that death because of the felony murder rule. So I find that if the state's attorney doesn't see this in a way that can charge crimes and prevent this from happening, we're back in the 1920s with the Capone and Bugs Moran gangs shooting from, Model Ts.
The idea of the evidence not being enough there, it's something I'd like to bring Sergeant Pete on, but just looking from the Sun-Times article, they mentioned that the police body cams were rolling when they pulled up on the scene. So they've got the police cruiser pulls up, they're rolling as the gunfight is still in progress. They count 70 shells, they find the illegal weapons. Aren't those things that typically police and prosecutors would go after? The illegal guns, the fact that the cars were stolen, the idea that they were firing weapons on a street, that's not a crime?
My answer is, yeah. I mean, you've got aggravated UUW, which is a public discharge of a weapon. I have no idea if any of the persons in either vehicle had prior felonies, but that's felon in possession of a weapon. There's a bunch of things that you could charge. I get the overall sense, and again, obviously I have to explain I ran against Kim Fox and wasn't successful, that she just does not want to prosecute cases and is doing the best she can not to.
Well, she said she was focusing on the most violent crimes because often crimes are brought to her attention where there has been no prosecution. She says, well, our office is trying to use our resources toward the most violent crimes. This one falls into that category, which is why I think it stood out. The Sun-Times decided to pick up on it and say it was worthy of looking into why five people would be walking away from this with literally no charges.
I could repeat myself. It's difficult to criticize from a distance, but this is the kind of case, and this isn't the first time. As I said, just in the last week, there have been two incidents of running gun battles. And in prior weeks, there was the woman coming home on the Dan Ryan from a White Sox game who's killed in the crossfire between two vehicles, and they stopped one of the vehicles, and somebody in that car had a gun, and they didn't charge the people in that car. There is something terribly wrong with all of this. And, I can only express my frustration that being a resident of Chicago, living here, I feel more at risk now than I ever did when the crime rate was higher in the middle 80s and early 90s.
put this in perspective before I let you go, Pat, and I always do appreciate your perspective. You were in the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. You worked there. And if you kind of bring us over the years, does this at all compare to how these kinds of crimes were treated before?
I'm trying to think of running gun battles because I was a supervisor of criminal prosecutors for a period of time. And in terms of running gun battles, I don't have a specific memory of any cases, maybe because they weren't happening. I mean, this is incredible. My sense of it, again, is I would look for a overall theory where everybody who is shooting guns in the middle of the street, putting everybody at risk, whether it's the people you're shooting at or innocent bystanders, there is an overall felony that you could charge, which allows you, based on felony murder, to charge everybody with whoever ends up being killed in this crossfire. Mutual combat, as I said, that's raised in connection with whether a first-degree murder should be a second-degree murder. It's not a defense.
Pat, thank you. Thank you for weighing in today and being available for us and looking up the law like you did at the last second there, just to be certain. I think there still are a lot of questions here, but you've helped with the perspective and the understanding of the law for sure. We'll continue. This isn't going away. I think these kinds of cases are going to continue to pop up. Thank you for the time.
You're welcome. Thank you, Anna.